Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Rangers Rabble Women's Show on a Monday evening. My name's Brian, and I'm joined by a very quality cast tonight. Wolf, how are we?
Are you speaking to me before you get to the quality on the cast, eh? Yeah, I'm absolutely wonderful, Brian. The weekend helped greatly, thank you very much.
Yes, absolutely. And Carr, how are you?
Yeah, much better than last week. I was dying in my sick bed watching news last week and not able to join in, so much better this week.
Good stuff. And we've got Alan on tonight. Alan, how are we?
I'm very good, thanks, Brian. It's been a very good weekend.
Absolutely, it has. Absolutely, it has. And of course, we're here to speak about the Rangers women winning 2-0 against Celtic in the Scottish Cup semi-final to book their place in the final to play Hearts. So, Wolf, it'll be... We'll go right back to the start. The team selection, was a couple of surprises. Rachel McLaughlin started. We thought she would start, but we weren't sure. And then Sarah Owen started up front. Ewan started up front. So was that two surprising sort of additions to the team?
Rachel McLaughlin wasn't a surprise. I expected her to start. But just for context, before we carry on, just so that everybody, the people that don't know who Alan is, Alan is a major contributor to the official Rangers Women Supporters Group podcast along with Karen Laura. And because Laura's had to dip out because she's got Carr's bug. She either got Carr's bug or she's still celebrating her birthday. I'm not quite sure which. Carr says it's a bug. I'll go for the still celebrating her birthday. So that's how we drafted in Alan. So Alan, thanks for coming on tonight and doing this for us. You can catch them on their own podcast, as I've just told you about. So, but anyway, back to the question in hand. I just thought I better clarify who he is. He's not just a random one dragging off the street, although he looks a bit like one with that stupid beard right enough. But sorry to be beardless. somebody did mention me not shaving on the podcast last week, so I had to have a wee pop about that. So Rachel McLaughlin starting wasn't a surprise. Although Rachel McLaughlin played 80 minutes was a surprise. But having spoken to her after the game, I think it was a surprise to her as well. She didn't expect to play for 80 minutes. But no, the big surprise for me was the two that started up front, not just Sarah Ewan starting, but the fact that she started up front beside Jane Ross. That was I think we were all quite surprised at that. But the feeling amongst those of us at the game that talked about it was possibly leaving the normal firepower to come off the bench and maybe catch them when they're getting tired on the big pitch towards the end of the game, which is exactly how it turned out. So Joe called it absolutely spot on.
She did that, and Carr, jumping like slightly ahead, she actually said that in her sort of interview after the game, that she had a plan, that she was playing Sarah and Jane first, and then was going to bring on Rio in the second half. So, I mean, the plan worked, didn't it?
Well, it did, and it must scare them a little bit, seeing that Rio and Kirsty Howitt's the ones that can come off the bench to potentially score goals against them. Must put a bit of fear into them. But Jo knows what she's doing. A lot of times I question it sometimes, but she got that absolutely spot on. And the subs I was a bit baffled by as well. Well, not all of them, but one of them. And it worked out in the end as well. So I'm just going to stop questioning Jo because she knows what she's doing.
Absolutely. And another sort of point that she made in our interview, Alan, was that she swapped Mia at half-time from the left to the right. Because obviously, you know, she played in the left-hand side in the first half and wasn't getting much joy. But then she switched on the second half and was, you know, a lot more positive and a lot more effective. So again, that was another thing she said that wasn't sort of planned, but it sort of happened because, you know, they realised that she wasn't getting the joy down the left.
I think we saw during the game that Mia wasn't getting much joy, but that was more because we were choosing not to play down that side. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the few times we did actually go down that side, Mia was cutting in and she was probably having a decent chance of getting inside her fullback because she got a couple of shots away, but we predominantly went down the right-hand side. And something we've missed in the team for months is the partnership with Rachel McLaughlin and Brogan Hay, which was causing Celtic a lot of problems in the first half.
Very much so, very much so. And so the game started, Wolf. I don't think any of us will say the first half was a classic. It was a very cagey first half, wasn't it?
Well, we were saying at half time that certainly for me it was one of those games that we, although it was quite cagey, we completely dominated it. I mean, they didn't offer very much. I mean, I think Celtic just sort of sat in and they were hoping to catch us on either on the counter attack or with a set piece because they're quite good on set pieces, you know, free kicks and corners and stuff. We absolutely bossed the first half without bothering their goalkeeper, without making any chances. And we were all sort of questioning at half time, is it going to be one of those days that Rangers are prone to do where they absolutely dominate a team, don't make the chances, don't take the ones they do make, then get caught and lose 1-0? That's what happens. And the longer the game went on, the more we were sitting. And we're saying, well, one goal wins us. And there's a very, when we were staring down the spectre extra time, just the way the game was going, because the chances we were making, we weren't really taking. Celtic didn't really offer a lot. I mean, they had one shot in the second half, which we'll come on to, which I thought was a lot closer than it was. But first half, it wasn't a great advert for football. But having said that, semi-finals never usually are.
No, they're not usually very good games. It was almost a case for me, Carr, that both teams were not scared to, they were scared to lose it in a way. You know, they were both sort of not really going full throttle. And we, although we had majority of the bulk of the play, it just seemed, as Wolf says, it was one of those days that even the chances we got, we were maybe going to rue them. But it, for me, it felt as though both teams were scared to lose it in the first half.
I didn't really view it that way, to be honest. Jane Ross had a really good shot, kind of curling effort that went, you know, a bit wider than I initially thought it had gone. From where we were sitting, it looked a lot closer than it actually was if you watch the highlights. And then there was another one, Mia cuts inside, plays it. I can't remember who it was that takes the shot, but it actually comes off Jane Ross. She's actually in the way of the shot. And then one comes off the face of one of their defenders. So we were creating chances and we looked quite comfortable because we absolutely ran over the top of them, especially in the midfield. Lev and Chelsea were just had them on absolute strengths. But we just couldn't find a way through. But it looked like it was coming. So I was fairly comfortable and confident that the team were going to do it. I didn't view it that, you know, we didn't want to lose it in a way. I thought we were quite comfortable.
I'm glad you were comfortable, Carl. That's what I'm saying. It was one of them. We were missing those chances. And how many times did we do that to them, particularly against them? Well, I mean, not even just think. Look at the Hearts game when we lost with 13 shots in the first half and couldn't score and then get caught in the counter. You know, you're thinking, you know, call it muscle memory or whatever. You know, you think, certainly that's what was going through my mind was, here we go again.
Watch this movie before. Yeah. So the first half ends, Alan. What was the general feeling in the sort of in the stand? Was it sort of positive in the sense that they've played decently well in the first half and had full control, or was there a bit of nerves in the sense that, you know, we had chances and didn't take them?
I think a wee bit of a mix. I think we were all pretty happy with how we were playing. You know, I think the only reason that maybe people aren't jumping on that being a really good first half of football was maybe a lack of shots and goal. You know, there was plenty of heavy challenges in. You know, we were dominating possession, dominating territory, and we probably just needed to get a couple more shots off. But probably just a wee bit of nerves, as sort of Wilf touched on. There's a bit of scar tissue for sort of seasons past and even games earlier in this season. You're just slightly concerned that we've got a mistake in us at the back at times. So I'd say we were fairly comfortable, but there's always that wee doubt in your mind.
Very much so. Very much so. So the first half ends, Wilf, and obviously the changes were made by the manager to switch Mia McCauley. By the start of the second half, was there an obvious difference in the sort of chances that were coming Rangers' way, or was it very much, again, a lot of territory but not many shots?
No, we very much carried on where we left off, which didn't really help the anxiety of, are we actually going to score or are they going to catch us? I mean, they offered absolutely nothing. You know, I mean, they were as poor as I've seen them. I only watched them against us, but they were as poor as I've seen them. We were still having the bulk of the ball. We were making the chances. Let's say the only chance they had was, I think, early in the second half when Natasha Flint took a shot that went wide. From where I was sitting, I thought, how the hell she missed that? You can't miss from there. But I've seen it back, and it wasn't as easy a chance as it looked. But I think she should still have put it on target. But I mean, apart from that, the one that Jenna misjudged in the first half, that's really all they had in the entire game. So no, I thought we were fairly comfortable. It was just as we just touched on. It was the case of, are we actually going to score a goal here?
Poor Jenna, because it was actually Vic. It was in goals, and Jenna's still getting blamed for that.
It's usually Jenna. I'm just making sure you're.
Absolutely, and of course, the manager alluded in our post-match car that, you know, the subs were planned. It was 60 minutes they were going to make the changes. So Jane Ross and Sarah Ewins came off for Kirsty Howitt and Rio Hardy. Now, between the two of them, I believe they scored 36 goals, 35 goals between them, something like that in the region, in the guts. So I mean, you're probably thinking the Celtic defence wouldn't have been looking forward to those two faces coming on the park at that time.
No, especially, well, Rio's got a habit of scoring against them recently. Well, she's only been here this season, and Kirsty Howitt loves a goal against them. So they must have been terrified seeing them two coming on. And they've got such a good partnership between them. So I think Joe knows that, you know, put them on together and they'll create chances, which is exactly what happened as soon as they came on. Kirsty Howitt had a really good chance, throw a goal, just didn't get quite enough on it to trouble the goalkeeper. But that, you know, offered us a bit more that way. And we just looked a bit more comfortable then. But then it started to get a little bit further on. And as Wilf was saying, you get, are we going to extra time here? Is it going to be one of these days? But obviously, that didn't happen, thankfully.
Absolutely. As we said earlier, Alan Rachel McLaughlin came off for Tess Middag and Brogan Hay came off for Lizzie Arnott. Was that another sort of piece of the jigsaw that Joe was looking for in the sense that to change the game?
Definitely. We knew Tess would come on for Rachel. You know, we never expected Rachel was going to play 90 minutes. You know, as Wilf touched on, you know, I think we're all surprised that she played as long into the game as she did. You know, but after the game, we found out that, you know, they're kind of relying on Rachel deciding herself how long she could play. And I think adrenaline probably got her through so much. But we were a wee bit surprised that Lizzie came on for Brogan and not Mia. But I think Brogan was just feeling her legs a wee bit on the big park. So no great surprises with the subs coming on.
No, certainly not. And then, of course, Wilf, the late show started just in the 85th minute. A corner came in, and there was only one person winning that header. When you see when you watch the replay back, I mean, Chelsea made that ball hers and bulleted it right in the bottom corner. Tremendous header.
It was a much better, I mean, I thought it was a good header at the time, but having watched it back, it was a much better header than I even thought it was. I mean, I thought she just, you know, she just met it and headed it, but she actually flicked it into the corner. It wasn't just a, you know, meet it full on and just hope you've got enough power on it. She actually guided it into the corner, which was, I mean, what epitomised it for me, a friend of mine who was watching it from home, a friend of mine who doesn't like women's football, who was watching it from home, but I haven't quite worked that out, but text me straight away and he said, big Derek Johnson would have been proud of that. And that tells you how good a goal it was. You know what I mean? It was an absolute, I mean, and I think it was either Carol or I said last week that, you know, Chelsea's come back and she's scoring goals. And she tends to go on, she's a streaky player, she tends to go on streaks. When she scores one, she scores another one. She scores. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if she scores on Wednesday and then scores again next Monday, because that's what she does. And it was an absolute peach. I mean, she was the closest to score when it was still 0-0, when she had that shot that stung the keeper's hands that she put over the bar about 5 or 10 minutes before the goal. But I mean, terrific corner for Rachel Rowe. Absolutely pinpoint. And as you say, Brian, the only one person going to win that header in there. And fabulous goal. And boy, did she enjoy it.
Very much so. And we've seen all of you celebrating in the background as well. So that was also obviously a good sign as well. And then not long after, Carl, ball gets played through and Kirsty Howitt's onto it. As we were speaking just before we came on, the goalie sort of half decided to come, then decided, no, I'm not going, then went backwards. And Kirsty did what Kirsty does and just chipped it over the goalie. Lovely.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wonderful ball from Tess. She's deep in our half. She's basically at our box and just absolutely rifles it, but not in a way that is just out of control. It's almost floating, and then it nicks off the head of their captain, I think it's Kelly Clark, who then plays it into Kirsty's path, who all she has to do is chip it over the keeper. But as you say, if their keeper stands up or comes for it, instead of doing what she does and then has to jump backwards, she probably catches that or puts Kirsty off or manages to get a hand to it. But she has no chance, and Kirsty just gets over the top of her and very much enjoys her celebration as well, as all of the team did when she... I think it's Lizzie comes running over to her and she's pointing at her, no, wait. And she's just standing at the corner flag posing, because she loves a goal against them. She hates them as much as we all do. So it's good to see when, you know, a player like that gets her goal. But it just calmed us all down, because you're thinking there's only one goal in this. You know, there's the potential they could go and score. Not that they really offered anything after we'd scored, but it just kind of settles everyone down and it's just a party at that point, and they all start trailing out, and we very much enjoy taunting them as they all start trailing out.
Very much. And I was going to ask you that, Alan. You know, after the second goal, the blood pressure's obviously a bit lower, because obviously you've got the two-goal cushion. It's virtually in injury time. I think the players and the fans really enjoyed that 2 or 3 minutes injury time, because they knew the game was finished.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what I said to Kirsty when she came over after the game. I said, thanks for making injury time enjoyable. And no a nervy sort of 3 or 4 minutes or however long would have been played. But no, you could see how both the players that scored celebrated, how much it meant to him. You know, the full team were absolutely delighted. And you know that Kirsty Howitt celebration has got to be iconic, standing with the corner flag. So, absolute party mood, you know, and totally relaxed once that second goal went in. I also think maybe a keeper's just misjudged it, being used to playing on artificial parks. The bounce isn't quite the same, you know, it doesn't go quite as far. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to complain, you know. Kirsty Howitt took advantage. That's where her strength is. She's playing on the sort of heels of the last defender, and she's grabbed her chance.
Absolutely. And Carve a clean sheet against Celtic, so that was another positive, wasn't it?
Well, that's the first time this season that we've not given them a goal, which is very nice, because I think every game we played them this season we've given them the first goal, so it's nice. We spoke to Donald after the game, the head of Girls and Women's Academy, whatever his title is, I don't know what his title is. Spoke to him after the game at Hampden, and I said that to him, that's the first time we've not given them a goal this season, which is just such a relief that we finally kind of got over that. And Vic really didn't have anything to do all game. She had maybe a couple of very easy catches, and then one in the first half where she kind of has to palm it away and then does a backwards roll. But other than that, they didn't really challenge her at all, which is what you want. You want Kathy was tremendous, flying into tackles, making sure that nothing was getting near. But everyone was. Chelsea was, Liv was. And, you know, the ref was a bit of a disgrace, but we don't need to talk about that. But everyone was doing their job, and that's exactly what you want. You want all the players to be well up for it every game, not just those games. But it helps when it's against them in a semi-final that they show up like that and just make it all the more comfortable and enjoyable for everyone.
Absolutely. Definitely. Where is it? got a few comments to get through, so I'll just try and rattle through them. Congrats to Mia on her well-deserved Player of the Year from Rangers 55, Wolf. Mia's first season as a professional, she goes on to win the Player of the Year. Some achievement, isn't it?
Well, I was going to come on to these after the after we'd finished talking about the game, but I suppose we're more or less finished talking about the game. So, Rangers 55, new Rabble member, joined just an hour or so ago. So, welcome aboard. I hope you enjoy what you see. But yeah, I mean, for Mia to win the Player of the Year, absolutely tremendous. I mean, she's only 17 years old, you know. I mean, for some strange reason, the women's team don't have a young Player of the Year, which I think she probably won that as well.
Very much so. And of course, Kirsty McLean got the Players' Player of the Year car. Was that a bit of a surprise as well? Or was that, again, the way these two young girls have just kicked into the team and sort of made the positions their own?
Yeah, I mean, she had a tremendous first start to the season before she got injured, so it's not really that much of a surprise, but I thought maybe it would go to Rio or, you know, Rachel Rowe, maybe even Chelsea, but I guess they obviously rate Kirsty so highly and how much she's come on this season before her injury, unfortunately, that she's just been so tremendous, so it's not that much of a surprise. But it really could have been any of them, you couldn't have grumbled. But, you know, for her to be out injured, and she hates sitting watching the games. I talked to her after the Partick game and she said, I don't know how you do this, because it was that stressful watching the team, because it wasn't, you know, a great performance that we watched. She was like, I don't know how you do this. She just wants back on the pitch. So, you know, for her to win that, such a massive achievement for her, and hopefully that keeps her on now to want to stay and win more things with us.
Brian, you know what I think. What I hope it does. I hope it makes Mia and anyone in the Players' Player of the Year. Hopefully it makes them realise just how good they actually are, because they don't seem to realise, you know, how good they are. They obviously know they're good because they're playing for Rangers, but they don't. I mean, they seem, even when they're signing stuff, they seem a bit sheepish. You know, all the teenagers are the same. It's as if I said, well, we shouldn't really be here. So hopefully them winning awards like that proves them, though, you really should be here. You know what I mean? You deserve to be where you are.
Very. I couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. Even our own Wolf made it on the Footy Adventures on YouTube, yes.
We did that, yeah. Sam just walked past. I wasn't sitting with Karen and Laura because they were sitting a bit too low for me. I prefer to sit. I was only sitting half a dozen rows higher than them, and he walked past and I said, hey, Sam, how are you doing? He said, do you want to be on the video? I said, go on then. So there we are. We haven't seen it. Footy Adventures, about 4 minutes 50, and you'll see me in a fleeting appearance from me and Demi.
Yes. Now, Alan, this is one player I'm wanting to speak about. Paul saying, I thought Liv was excellent in midfield, wish we could keep her. She's almost taken over some from the sort of Kirsty McLean role, you know, obviously with Kirsty being out. I mean, I've no idea about the possibility of Liv staying on beyond this season. But is that the sort of profile of player? And obviously, the way she's playing this season, is that the sort of person that we should be looking to keep?
Oh, 100%. You know, Liv's came in and she's had to step in for Kirsty McLean, who's a massive loss to any team, you know, and Liv's just progressed week after week after week. You know, she's getting better with every single game. I said that to her when she came over after a game. You know, she's just stepping up another level. So every time we see her play, I very much expect that we'll have no chance of keeping Liv on a permanent basis. I expect Liv to get down and do incredibly well in the WSL. But I think if we get any hope, we maybe get her for another year on loan. But I'd expect she'll go back down, see how it starts at pre-season at Villa. But Liv's just been absolutely tremendous in recent weeks.
Yeah, Carr, we spoke about her when she obviously signed, and you weren't very sure about her, were you? You just weren't sure. But I mean, what a change in a player there.
Yeah, it was the Aberdeen game, wasn't it? The first game that she started and played, and I was like, well, I don't know about this. She seems a bit. She wants more time on the ball. She's taking a bit too long for my liking, a few slip passes. And I mean, she proved me wrong very quickly, because the last you know, month and a half, however long it's been, it's just she's absolutely grown into it. And you can see why she's at a WSL team, because she is that good. So the fact that they don't play her, or, you know, the fans obviously rate her, because when she came up to us, they were all raging that she'd come up here on loan and wasn't getting utilised by them. You can see the fans, like, rate her. So she's that good. And she's definitely, you know, stepped in massively where Kirsten McLean's been out and has just absolutely ran the show in that midfield beside Chelsea. Her and Chelsea work so well together in that midfield. Her and Rachel Rowe, the three of them work really well together. I'd love to keep her, but I honestly don't see it happening. I think Villa have seen how, you know, how much she's improved since she just came up here, that they'll want to keep her on down there. But if we get her for another loan signing next season, I'd be very happy with that. She seems to enjoy Glasgow and enjoys, you know, being in the team with the girls. They all seem to get on really well. So it'd be good if we could keep her, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, unfortunately. Wolf, this happened. The manager was actually asked this after the game. What about the extended wait to the kickoff? The referee blew to start, and it was a good couple of minutes before they got the finger out. The manager was asked about it, and she wasn't very impressed. But as one of the pundit said, it was maybe a mind game to, you know, before the game started, but the mind games didn't work, did it?
Yeah, but I mean, what Joe said in the thing with the BBC after the game was that you've got the referee knocking on the door saying, come on, you need to come out, we've got a game to start. And then they got on the pitch and they let them have an extended huddle. I mean, fine, if they want to do that huddle, that's fine, that's entirely up to them. But they should be told it's kick-off time, let's get on with the game. You know what I mean? There's something about these things, because I noticed that when we played Partick Thistle, the 0-0 draw earlier in the season, they did a huddle before the toss of the coin. Then we swapped ends to start the game and did another one when they swapped ends. I don't really see what difference it makes. You know what I mean? It's as if they're just trying to stall the start of the game. I don't really see what it is. But I mean, no, if the referee's going to be saying to the team, look, come on, you need to go now, and kind of hurry them onto the pitch and hurry them into formation, and then let them do that. What? I mean, I just don't see it. If it's kickoff time, it's kickoff time. If your pre-match isn't done, then tough. I'm sorry, get on with it. I mean, for me, it's like if a player comes out and is missing a shin pad, you start the game without them. You just say, get that sorted, and then I'll let you on once you're sorted. Should be the same. If they're not ready with the pre-match, whether it's their huddle or the goalkeeper's not got gloves or whatever it is, just get on with the game.
Yeah, it was a strange one, Alan. I was watching it, obviously. I wasn't able to go, so I was watching it on the telly. And I was sitting there going, what's happening here? You know, what's... Because obviously the TV cameras don't show everything. But, as Wolf says, it seemed to take an age for the game to start. And then I quickly realised when the cameras went on that they were still in their sort of pre-match huddle. And I was like, what's the referee doing about this? Because we were ready to go and, you know, it was all a bit weird, wasn't it?
It was, but it seems to be something creeping into the game more and more. Wilf touched on Partick Thistle doing it. You know, I saw it when went down with Carr and watched Sunderland play in January, and they had about two or three pre-match huddles. You know, and teams just seem to be delaying kickoff. I don't really know why they've seen some sort of benefit to doing this, but it seems to be becoming more and more common. And we've done really well and nobody put off our stride by that. We've just stayed focused and not allowed ourselves to be distracted by that.
Very much so. And Rangers 55 says, let's hope we win Wednesday and a draw for the other mob against Glasgow City. That would be ideal. Very much so.
Glasgow City win. Let's go.
Yeah.
Well, that would be even better. Yes, absolutely. But any points taken away would be ideal. Wolf, question for you. On the manager changing the two goalkeepers this season seems to happen quite often. We've spoke about this before, haven't we? Jenna seems to be the league goalie and Vic seems to be the cup goalie. So the manager's sticking to that sort of mantra, isn't she?
Yeah, it seems to be that way. But rather than just sticking Vic in for the cup game, she seems to be the league game the game before it as well, to get her, whether to get her used to the team or the formation or whatever. I've noticed that it's not just Vic's not just come in for the cup games and then back out again. You know, she'll get a couple of games, one of them being the cup game, then she'll be back out again. It's not something I particularly like. I don't see the need for having a league goalie and a cup goalie. The goalie should be the goalie and that's it, as long as they're performing well enough to keep the jersey, then they keep the jersey. If they make mistakes, then they get taken out. I feel a bit for Vic, because obviously she plays with the New Zealand Ferns, who have just won their National Team of the Year thing. So congratulations to her for her part in that. And obviously because their international calendar is different to ours, on international breaks, she basically misses a month of club football because she's away for 2 weeks from New Zealand. And then when she's back, it's the European window. So that's possibly why she's not the number one choice for league games, because she's going to miss half of them anyway because she's away with her country, you know, because they've obviously had Olympic qualifiers and they've had World Cup qualifiers and whatever else that they've had on. You know, so she's not been about and available for quite a lot of football. So, but no, Rangers 55, it's not something I particularly like. I get why the manager does it. A lot of managers do it at a lot of clubs, at a lot of levels. But it's just a fact that we've got a cup goalie who seems to get a league game before the cup game just to get her, I don't know, used to the surroundings or playing with the players or whatever it is. But not something I'm particularly in favour of. And it might be something we'll have to address, because I would imagine Vic's going to go back to New Zealand at the end of the season, which will only really leave us Jenna and then maybe a goalie coming up from the academy, possibly. So whether or not Joe would be happy to, you know, make a younger keeper the cup keeper or not, I've got no idea.
Yeah, it's going to be a tricky one, isn't it, Carr, in the summer when obviously everybody's expecting Vic to leave. You know, that does only leave us with Jenna as a senior goalkeeper. So the manager's going to have to sort of not pull a rabbit out of the hat, but, you know, she's going to have to find a suitable replacement, isn't she?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Joe's got plenty of connections with, you know, being assistant manager and then, you know, a player herself. She'll have plenty of, you know, phone numbers, I'm sure, in a wee black book that she can call up and potentially get another goalkeeper. But we've definitely got Jenna next season because she got a 2-year contract last season. So she's definitely Jenna. And then there's Lucy Inman from the academy, who's currently on loan at Queen's Park, who've just been promoted up to the SWPL1. So I don't know whether she'll get another loan deal, or maybe we will keep her around. But I don't see her really getting any games unless, you know, God forbid, Jenna gets injured and then whoever else comes in. So maybe another loan season for her, just to get her up to speed, because she seems to be a good enough goalkeeper for kind of Queen's Park level, but I don't know if she's quite there yet for being a Rangers number one. So I don't know, but I'm assuming we'll bring somebody else in if Vic does leave, because I'm assuming Vic wants to go back home, be closer to home. It's a long way for her, not really playing that much, which I hadn't really thought about the fact that she had a lot of international games with being away at the World Cup and then Olympic qualifiers and all that. I didn't really piece that together. It's probably why she wasn't number one, purely just because she was away a lot and then we'd be jet-lagged and what have you. But we really do need somebody else in. I mean, I would love Ava Easton, but she just signed her first professional contract with Glasgow City, so that's not happening anytime soon, much to my disappointment.
Yeah, very much so. So, Alan, we go back to league business on Wednesday and we host Hearts. And 2 hours before that, it is Celtic versus Glasgow City. So we'll know where we stand, you know, when we play our game, what the, obviously, the result of that game. So, interesting Wednesday ahead.
A very interesting Wednesday. As much as I hope Glasgow City win, I think we have to go into every game expecting that we need to win every single game. And if we win every single game and play the way that we can, then we'll win a lot. You know, Joe often talks post-match about the team needing to believe that they're the best team in the country. And when the team believe that, they'll show it. And I think that's exactly what we need to do. Irrelevant to the result in Airdrie, we need to go out and remember that Hearts beat us a couple of weeks ago. We know the dangers of Hearts. We know we've now got to play them in a cup final as well. So it's a chance to put a marker down. The next game up for us has got to be the Old Firm game next Monday, so it's must win. And if we play like we did at the weekend, I think we'll be okay, but we just need to make sure there's no stupid mistakes in the back.
Very much so. And Teresa, yes, it is on, I think, as Rangers 55 has just said, yes, BBC Alba has got a double header on Wednesday, so they'll show the Celtic Glasgow game first, and then they'll show the Rangers Hearts game straight after it. So it's a double header on Wednesday evening. So, Wolf, we're going to host Hearts. Obviously, we played them recently and lost. So there's a bit of a, I don't like saying the word revenge, but there'll be certainly, the players will have that fresh in their mind, won't they?
Well, yeah, but I mean, as I touched on earlier, I mean, we lost the Hearts, but we absolutely, I mean, did everything apart from score. I mean, the stats are ridiculous. I think it was something like 18 shots in the 90 minutes, 8 of them on target, we just couldn't score. I mean, that's ridiculous at any level of football. So, I mean, Hearts beat us, then they went away to Celtic and beat 5-0. No, lucky, yeah, that was on the big open pitches at Parkhead, which, by the way, I don't like giving them any credit, but see the fact that they played the league game before the cup game at Parkhead, I think that was clever from them to get used to the big pitch. It clearly didn't work because they lost to us at Hampden, but I can see why they did it. It's quite clever, maybe something for Rangers to bear in mind in the future. You know, try and get a game at Ibrox on a big pitch, which is the same dimensions as Hampden, get the players, you know, a bit more used to it. So I thought that was quite a clever idea, but as I say, it blew up in their face, so that was nice. But it just shows you that Hearts are hot and cold, that they beat us, and then they went and Celtic took 5 off them. I mean, we really... Irrespective of what happens in the Celtic Glasgow City game, really, we need to take as many as we can off Hearts, because we'll have to bear in mind that the goal difference is a thing, mm-hmm. and it's quite big in their favour. So the more we can claw it back before we play them on Monday, the better. You know, because obviously every goal we scored on Monday's 2 of the goal difference, because it's 1 off them and 1 on us. So, you know, and it's not going to be easy. So hopefully Wednesday should take care of itself. Hearts have really got nothing to play for, you know, apart from pride and all that. And with them being not full time, they've got one or two full time players, but they're kind of hybrid. You know, midweek football doesn't particularly suit them, although it was a midweek game they beat us the last time. I know I'm kind of contradicting myself, but you know what I mean, it's a game that we shouldn't have lost because of the chances that we had. So if we do what we can do, I'll be interested to see the team they play, because when they beat us, they didn't have the first choice goalkeeper in. Hmm. I mean, they had the lassie Johnston and not Parker Smith. So we're interested to see if Parker, I don't know whether she was injured or what the deal was there. So we're interested to see if she's back in. I don't know if she played against Celtic or not. But we're interested to see if she's back in. But it shouldn't really matter who they've got or what they do. You know, we should be able to take care of them fairly comfortably. And as Alan said, it doesn't really matter what happens in the game at Celtic. Yeah, Glasgow City getting the result would be tremendous from our point of view. But really, somebody's put it in the comments, every single game we've got from here on in is a cup final, and we just have to win them all. You know, it's actually exactly the same as the situation that the men's first team are in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're 3 points behind Celtic, worst goal difference, still got to play them. We've won the League Cup, we're in the Scottish Cup final, it's almost identical. So basically, we've got 6 games left, we have to win them all and win the league games by as many as we can, as you see what happens.
Very much so. This is for probably Carr and Alan more than me and Wolf. Guys, out of the players in the league, is there any player you'd like us to be going for? Heart striker would do for me. Is there anybody that sticks out with the big three that you think we could be doing with?
I mean, I'd maybe take the Hibs striker. Is it Bochum?
Mm-hmm.
I'd maybe take her because she, you know, gave us a lot of hassle when we played against her, and she's up there, you know, up with Rio and Kirsty and whoever else is up there for, you know, top goal scorers. She looks a good player, but I don't know if she'd get in ahead of Kirsty, Rio, Jane and Sarah at the moment. So it'd maybe be a bit of a waste if we took her. But other than that, and maybe the Aberdeen goalie, but she's injured now and she was on loan from Liverpool anyway. So I don't know if that would even happen. Can't really think of anyone off the top of my head now.
No. Alan, any bright ideas?
Well, Carl stole my thunder with Jorian Bochum at Hibs, you know, but Bailey Hutchison's impressed me in the last 2 seasons at Aberdeen, and she's right up at the top end of the scoring charts again, playing in an Aberdeen team that's sitting 7th in the table. So, you know, definitely worth watching, you know, and you got to watch out for the players that are breaking into the Scotland team as well. You know, players with knowledge of the league. You touched on it when you were doing the phone in earlier. You know, we can't be snobby about bringing players in from the league, but if you watch Jo's presser during the week when she talked about dominating in Europe, you know, I think we'll see a lot of changes in the summer.
Yeah, that's a high possibility.
Brian, sorry, just to answer that question that was up there about the heart striker, I would take her just for the shits and giggles because her name's Georgia Pims.
Somebody had to say it, didn't they? Somebody had to say it.
She actually went off injured in Hearts 7 final yesterday, so she might be missing on Wednesday. No idea how bad the injury was, but she went off late on.
Good.
And to Will's point, Charlotte Parker-Smith was fit. She played in the semi-final.
Right, okay. She's a decent keeper, by the way. She's a decent keeper.
Team of the year. She was voted in.
Oh, right. A solicitor, I believe. She's quite handy to have on your side if you need her. You know what I mean?
Hey, Paul's making another good point here. What's your thoughts on the game being on Monday at midday? Not everybody is off. You want as many people available to watch it. It's a funny time, Wolf, isn't it?
Bank holiday Monday.
Bank holiday.
That's why. But it is a bank holiday that people that not a lot that well, I'm not saying not a lot. A lot of people don't get off. I've got it off only because I've taken it off. It's one of them. I don't get bank holidays. If I want them, I need to take them off as the day's holiday, which I've done, so I can go to the game. Having said that, my missus works for, she's off because they get bank holidays off. It's a strange one. I can understand why it is, because it's on Sky. And Sky have got nothing else. It's a bank holiday Monday. Sky won't have anything else to show, because I don't think there's a lot of... It's not like a bank holiday where they've got a full English programme and stuff like that. You know, because quite often bank holiday... Like it's Easter, they've got a Good Friday programme and an Easter Monday programme, and they've got football coming out their ears. I don't think they have very much on Monday. So it makes sense for them to do that, and it probably wouldn't get eyes on it. But it is difficult. I know it's difficult for folk that are working. As I say, I'm in a fortunate position. I can take the day off and go to it. Ideally want it on Sunday. You know what I mean? But the thing is, the more clubs that become professional, the more things like that's going to happen. I mean, the game on Saturday, the semi-final we just had on Saturday, probably couldn't have happened on Saturday had we been playing Hearts or had we been playing Spartans. Had the draw been different, there would have been a bit of a problem, because obviously the same problem we had with the League Cup final with Partick Thistle, because they are part-time players and they work in a lot, and they work a Saturday to play on a Sunday, because the women's game predominantly played on a Sunday. Whereas because Rangers and Celtic are fully professional, play any day you like, because it's their job. You know, so playing them on Saturday there in the Cup's fine, playing them on a bank holiday Monday, they can do that, which is, they're taking advantage of it. I just hope that there's a better crowd turns out for that than turned out on Saturday, because that was... I mean, for anybody that saw that footy adventures that was referenced earlier, the host of that, Sam North, he did comment on it. He was disappointed in the size of the crowd. I have to say, so was I. Just over 2,700 folk. And worryingly, a lot more of them than us. I mean, Carl mentioned that when we were in. You see, they've sold an awful lot more than we have. Whether they made it easier for the fans to find the tickets or not, I've got no idea. But I guess it's a slow burn, and we're years behind the women's game in England. They seem to have cracked it. They get big crowds and stuff like that. We're years behind that. I get that. And hopefully Rangers winning things will get more people going to see it, because I've had over the years is when they start winning things, I'll start being interested. We'll win the league and it didn't really affect anything. But hopefully if we can get, you know, win things on a regular basis, winning a treble would be absolutely tremendous from that point of view. But it's just that you get eyes on it. I mean, it's not expensive to go to. I mean, the Saturday Cup semi-final, you could probably excuse a smaller crowd because it's a Saturday. As I said, the games are normally a Sunday. Because on a Saturday, you want to take kids to these games, because that's what it's brilliant for, as we always keep saying. On a Saturday morning, loads of kids have got football and they've got gymnastics and they've got dancing and they've got all these things that stop at lunchtime. We have no good time to get to the game because it starts at lunchtime. So that's probably a reason a lot of them couldn't go, that maybe wanted to go. But then that doesn't explain why there was twice as many of them as there was of us, because they have the same issues as we've got, I would imagine. Without getting all what we think, you know what I mean, without getting all kind of thingy about it. So it's difficult. The Monday afternoon thing isn't going to help either. You know, and I don't know how many people know it's Monday afternoon. It's not marketed particularly well, I don't think. I don't even know if Sky have started promoting it yet. You know, and it's a week away. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, very strange. I forgot to mention, Carr, Nicola Docherty won goal of the season, and Leo Hardy won the top scorer of the awards. So there's another two awards that we forgot to mention.
Yeah, I'm assuming the Nick one, because they didn't actually say which goal it was, but she hasn't scored that many goals this season, so I could hazard a guess that is the...
I know.
It'll be the Hamilton one.
It was the Hamilton one,
yeah. Screamer from, the side of the pitch, straight in, and like she does it all the time. It's basically the one she did for Scotland against Australia, carbon copy almost. So I'm assuming it's that one, because you don't scored that many goals. But
you clearly haven't listened to today's daily update on Heart and Hand, because David Edgar tells me what game it is.
I haven't listened to it yet.
It's the only goal she scored all season.
Yeah.
Is it? Is it?
Yep.
Wow.
But then also, they put the vote out before Lizzie scored that screamer against Glasgow City, so it's a tad unfair, because I'm assuming she probably would have won that for that goal had the vote been after that. But I know they've got a time frame to get it out for the awards last night, so I understand that. But
it's like the top goal scorer awards. Okay, Rio's got the women's award tied up because she's so far ahead. But Tabs four in the men's award. Sorry to make it a bit mention the men's game again, but. Tabs four ahead of Cyril Dessers. There's six games to go. Tabs been given the leading goal scorer. If Cyril scores in the last six games and Tabs doesn't, he's got it. I mean, they should hold that off till the end of the season. But
yeah, it's pretty much the same in the Player of the Year awards, though, Alan. I mean, you could have somebody gets four or five hat tricks on the spin, wins you the league, and all of a sudden, you could say, well. Could that have been a Player of the Year, the contribution just purely for, winning us the league?
Well, listen, 100%. I've never been a fan of these awards getting voted for in sort of February or March or whenever they're getting voted for. We've got the Football Writers Player of the Year next Sunday, the night before the Old Firm game. It's bonkers, Our players really step up at the end of the season, and or make a difference to actually winning trophies. So don't get me wrong. I mean, the people nominated for the Women's Player of the Year, I think you can make a good argument for any of them winning. And, Mia, as you touched on earlier, 17 years old, first year as a pro, learning a new position, which shouldn't be going unnoticed, and still at school this year. So 16 goals for Mia, I think she's more than merited it.
Very much so. And of course, well, as Alan just said there, Carr, Kirsty and Mia's in the Young Player of the Year. Kirsty and Rachel are in the Main Player of the Year. It's nice to see us getting two players into both awards.
It's because we run the show, Brian. We absolutely run the show. Two in each category, because that's just how good we are. No, I'm joking. I'm not actually not joking. I don't know. I'm not joking at all. We absolutely do run the show. That's just how good our squad is. You could make a case for any of them being in it, but the fact that there's two in both categories, one of which has been injured for,
3 months?
3 months now? Yeah. It's just incredible. Other teams must be looking at that and being raging, especially the likes of Glasgow City, either sitting in third, and they've not really done much this season, but to have no one in there is a bit funny, but it's just the way that our squad's been this season. Joe's absolutely, turned us a new leaf. Just everybody's bought into her system, new formation, back three, playing with a 10, everything different, young players coming in like Mia thrown in, and just absolutely loved it and done exactly what she wanted. So it's just testament to Joe and Jay. Can't forget about Jay, what she's brought to us as well. It's just been incredible. So it just shows what we've done this season. Hopefully they go and have three shiny things at the end of the season to make it all worth it.
Absolutely. And I think that is no better time to finish on such a positive note from Carr, with all that biggest positiveness I've seen for a while. So we will call it a night there. And of course, we have I think we're going to be hard pushed to do anything after the Hearts game, because obviously things will be very, timing wise and stuff like that. So we'll have to schedule a pod for another, maybe the Tuesday or something, but We'll sort something out and let you all know. But my thanks to Wolf, Alan, and Carr for joining me tonight.
Hopefully we can get together next Monday after the Celtic game. We can talk about the Hearts game and the Celtic game if everybody's available on Monday. Now we've got an able substitute if one of us can't make it. Skipping across from that other podcast that I hear is quite good. It is actually, I listen to it every week. It is actually quite good. But yeah, we'll try and get that done early next week, Monday, hopefully. Carl's giving me the battle fever. Yeah.
Honestly, let me do the team talks. I'll get them all up for it. I don't think they need much more, but let me in there and I'll do the team talks.
I think I would just say yes, Joe, no, Joe, whatever you want, Joe. Yeah, no problem. I think she'd be quite, even just the stare. I mean, just the look that she gave that Celtic huddle was always enough to put the fear of God in anybody, I think. You know, so. But yeah, as you say, Brian, hopefully we'll get together Monday or Tuesday next week. Hopefully Monday night, talk about it. If it goes wrong on Monday, it won't be Monday night because I'll not be in any mood to speak about it. But those of you that are going along, the two games in the next 7 days are obviously we're talking about Hearts on Wednesday night. Remember, it's a very strange 8:10 kickoff because obviously, well, BBC Albo's doing the double header, so the Celtic team kicks off at back of six. So they can get the two of them in. And then the Old Firm game is an even more ridiculous Monday, 12 o'clock kickoff on the Bank Holiday Monday. Tickets available for both from the Rangers website. I believe, I'm not sure how much they are, the £7 or £8 are going, £7 and £3 for kids, I think it is.
£3 for the Old Firm game.
Yeah, the Celtic game's £3 and £1 for children, and partly no booking fee either. So they're really trying to push it.
Are they doing the old £1 for my years members thing with that as well?
I don't know.
I bought the five game package for Demi anyway. Then it turns out she's working and can't go anyway. But there you go. That's just one of those things.
Well, ticket for you.
I think Carol's going to come with me. My mate bought a season ticket, so I've got the season ticket for that. So. Yeah, I mean, he bought it simply to gather the Major's points. I'm not going to tell you who he is because nobody on here will know him anyway.
Well, getting paid commission, yeah.
I really wish I was Rangers 55. I really wish I was paid commission, but no.
We just
want to get people at the games. We just want to try and encourage people to come along and watch your games. I hate to think of somebody saying I'll go to the game on Wednesday and pitching up an hour early and have to stand about for an hour just waiting, or have to leave because I didn't realise how late the kickoff was, because that's not ideal for kids. If you've got kids in school in the morning and that's not finished at 10 o'clock, it's not ideal. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it kind of works for me. I should make the second half, so because I'm going to the Youth Cup final first. That's another fixture clash which could probably have been avoided. You know what I mean? But we talk about that all the time, so we'll leave that one there. We'll not put a downer on it. We'll leave them with the thought of Carl's rallying battle cry.
Absolutely. Like and subscribe, guys. As Paul says, we catch up every Monday after the ladies' game in the weekend. So if you want to catch up and join us every Monday, you know what to do. But my thanks again to Alan, Carr and Wolf for joining me tonight, and we shall see you in hopefully the Monday, but fail not the Tuesday.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.